Our words of Scripture today are taken from 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, and verses 12 through 20. And I'll be reading from the New English Bible. I am free to do anything you say. Yes, but not everything is for my good. No doubt I am free to do anything, but I, for one, will not let anything make free with me. Food is for the belly, and the belly for food, you say. And that is true. And one day God will put an end to both. But it is not true that the body is for lust. It is for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. God not only raised our Lord from the dead, He will also raise us by His power. Do you not know that your bodies are limbs and organs of Christ? Shall I then take from Christ His bodily parts and make them over to a harlot? Never. You surely know that anyone who links himself with a harlot becomes physically one with her, for Scripture says, the pair shall become one flesh. But he who links himself with Christ is one with Him spiritually. Shun fornication. Every other sin that a man can commit is outside the body, but the fornicator sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a shrine of the indwelling Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God's gift to you? You do not belong to yourselves, but you are bought at a price. Then honor God in your body.
Well, this is another one of those tough passages of Scripture, isn't it? I'm glad that as I preach through a book of the Bible, that I'm not the one picking and choosing the topic that we talk about. God's Word is. If I was to pass over this passage, it would give a message. If I preach it, it will give a message, and I'd rather preach it and give a message than pass over it and give a message. Let's invite God's Spirit as we open this Word today. Heavenly Father, Paul displayed an openness to the real issues that his people were struggling with. And as we are sensitive to the issues that we face in our generation, as Christians in this world, we pray for the sensitivity of the things that Paul taught about our sexuality. May we be faithful to You in a way that will always bring honor and glory to You. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, he clearly understood what the Christian speaker had said. He understood without a doubt the implications of what he was talking about when he was speaking about the wholeness of the individual. So he called out from the back of the classroom. He called out and said, "My sexual desires are just like any one of my desires. If I'm hungry, I go down to McDonald's and get a quarter pounder with cheese. If I have a desire for sex, then I find someone who's willing." Now what's wrong with that? Now we say to ourselves, who would ever say that? Corinth didn't have any golden arches, I can guarantee that. But I can tell you this, that Paul was dealing with the same attitude. The same attitude when he wrote these words to the Corinthians so long ago. Theirs was a simple philosophy. A simple philosophy, whatever you do with the body, whatever you do to the body, is irrelevant. Food is food and the stomach is stomach and sex is sex. And just like food is for the stomach, the body is for sexual pleasures. It's a biological function that when the urge strikes, take care of it. And on top of this kind of philosophy, that is right here in this passage of Scripture, Paul is parroting it back to them, their slogan, food is for the stomach and stomach for the food and the body is for sexual pleasures. Not only did they have these ideas in their mind, but they were following in the throbbing pulse of society of their day and the thinking of their society. They were living in a sex-obsessed society. Corinth was one of those loose seaports, a hotbed of immorality and erotic fantasies of every kind. Dominating the city was a huge hill that rose nearly 2,000 feet behind the city. The whole seaport area is flat. And behind the city is this, what is called the Acrocorinth, a high-rising hill, rocky precipice. And there on top, this awesome, impressive mountain that just looms out of nowhere was a temple to the goddess of love, the goddess Aphrodite. And there 1,000 priestesses served as temple prostitutes, glorifying physical love. It was the hot spot in Corinth. It was the place where the action was. And it symbolized the Corinthian thinking on sexuality. 6 years ago, I stood in the empty ruins of Corinth and I looked across the Bema, which is the official judgment seat of which Paul had been drugged by an angry mob before Gallio a long time ago. I stood there and I looked across. I looked at this impressive mountain that just looms up out of nowhere. As I thought about the thousands of men and women, young and old, who experienced things on that mountain that tore their moral fabric, I couldn't help but to think, my heart was burdened with the words of Paul. When he calls his church to moral purity, sexual purity, and a lifestyle that brings honor and praise to the God of heaven. And as I stood there looking at this symbol, this mountain that depicted the degradation and the moral confusion of a lost civilization, I couldn't help but to say that here was a pastor struggling with the inroads and the impact that an immoral society was having on his church. And to read 1 Corinthians is to see a people who were struggling with sexual issues, struggling with their sexual identity, struggling with questions of sexuality. I couldn't help but to think, myself as a pastor, and I cannot help but to think today, the kind of world in which we live in that has a hard time, it seems, to be able to make a moral distinction between fast food and fast sex. A world that is pulsating and throbbing with ideas and concepts that will destroy men and women morally and eternally. And Paul knew that there was not a single convert in Corinth that would be untainted in some way by the throbbing, pulsating ideas coming from this city. And our world too calls for us to climb the hill outside the city, as it were, to experience immoral sexual experiences that promises to satisfy and meet our inner needs for intimacy and fill our emptiness. But I fear that as we make the journey up to the top, we're tired when we get there, and by time we've made the journey back down the hill to reality, we are even more spiritually tired. And so in a society, in a world that is obsessed with sex, in which sex is the panacea for meeting our emptiness and all of our needs, the words of Paul today, to you and to me, are pungent with relevance. Relevance. And I'm glad Paul says these things and I don't. These are God's words. And whether you are an older person or a young person, whether you're middle-aged, no matter where you are in the experience of life, if Some of the things that I might say today may be irrelevant to you, but may the Holy Spirit of God lead you to a life of intercession and prayer in behalf of others in the congregation where it might be more applicable to. We begin to see in a passage like this the Christian concept of sexuality and our view of our bodies and how we are to bring glory to God. These are the things we need to teach our children. These are the things that we need to affirm in our own minds and our own hearts as to what the meaning of God's Word is and how He would have us live. Three things, briefly, Paul brings to my mind this morning about how we should be thinking different than the world thinks. And because we think different, we will also live different. And the first is a fundamental point, is that our sexuality touches us in a deeply personal way. Our sexuality is not just an expression of parts of our body, but is an expression of our whole being. Now you will remember the whole issue of which the Paul was addressing was this concept that food was for the stomach and stomach was for food, you know, that they were connected, and so the body was for sexual pleasures. They had this idea that whatever you did with the body was all right, and somehow the body would not survive death. And Paul agrees with him. Food is for the stomach, and stomach is for the food, but that's going to pass away someday. But he does not agree. He says, immorality is, the body is not for immorality, but it's for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. And then he says, just as Christ was raised from the dead, the body will be raised from the dead. And Paul, when he's answering their questions, does not appeal to the seventh commandment and say, thou shalt not commit adultery, but he appeals to the Christian and the biblical view of the wholeness of the person. You see, we don't have bodies, we are a body. Our total existence is lived out within the sphere of a body. We cannot do anything without a body. Everything that you do, from thinking to eating to playing or whatever it is, it's done with the body. So Paul is talking about the whole person. When he's talking about the body, he's talking about the person as a whole. And he says the Christian view of sexuality has to do with the wholeness of the person. That what you do with your body is an expression of what you do yourself. You see, the body is not animal tissue and primal urges. But it's me. It's you. And what we do with our bodies, we are doing. So Paul says, casual experiences outside the parameters of which God has ordained in Scripture, which is monogamous commitment of marriage. Casual experiences outside that kind of experience touch the very root of our being. We cannot take them lightly or casually. Our sexuality affects our personal self. And to move it one step closer, he uses an extreme illustration. An extreme illustration. He uses commercialized, non-personal sex, which is prostitution. Visiting a prostitute up on the hill. That's what he does. A setting in which there is no love, no commitment, there's no exchange of names, there's an unwritten agreement that nothing is to take place that is meaningful personally. Paul takes that extreme experience and he tells us right here. He says, don't you know that one who joins himself to a prostitute is one body with her? For he says, and this is a quote from Genesis now, which affirms our belief in the first 11 chapters of Genesis. He says, the two will become one flesh. Paul says in this environment in which there is supposed to be nothing taking place personal, hey, deep personal bonding does take place. There is no such thing as meaningless sex. There is no such thing as it taking place as a purely bodily function in which we as persons are not involved, or the other person is not involved. And then as Paul leads us in his logic, he says down here in verse 18, flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body. But the immoral man or woman sins against his own body, and shall I say, sins against themselves. And how many tired eyes have I looked into as a pastor? Tired eyes of men, women, young and old, who have experienced the downside of sexuality because they've stepped outside the framework of which God has outlined for them in Scripture. So many times, the words of Paul that we sin against ourselves, we hurt ourselves, we harm ourselves. I've seen true as a pastor in this community and other communities that I've pastored. Now, Paul is approaching it from a negative perspective, but in the process, we can flip it around and see a very positive view of sexuality being expressed. The second point that Paul brings to our minds today, the first is that our sexuality touches us personally on a deeply personal level. Secondly, our sexual behavior always affects someone else. Always affects someone else, either positively or negatively. You see, the Corinthians had this idea that food was for the stomach and stomach was for food and the body was for sexual pleasures. And if you follow that logic to its furthest conclusion, you would come to the conclusion that such individual who was a partner in activity was on the level of food, a non-being, only a body. In our world has a lessened view of persons and a selfish view of bodies. You listen to what our world is cranking out today. A lesser view of persons and a heightened selfish view of one's body. And prostitution is the epitome of that. The epitome of no person and all body. Again, Paul uses the extremes to help create in our minds some positive views about our sexuality and what it means and how we should live. You see, a prostitute is someone to be gawked at and used and discarded. And when we hear Paul saying that union with a prostitute up on the hill brings personal bonding, there is personal bonding on the other side as well as the Christian side. In 1 Corinthians or 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul gives us another passage where he really confronts us with these issues, and there he raises the question that immorality defrauds and transgresses the rights of another human being. In other words, Paul is saying that no situation of immorality can take place in which someone does not get hurt. Someone will always be hurt when we step outside God's plan, God's desire for our expression sexually. And again, as a pastor, boys that have been abused by men, strippers being gawked at and abused at the dance floor, wives that have been mishandled by their husbands. I can go down the line in ways in which God's people are hurting. The downside of sex because of the impersonalization and how selfishness has risen up. Paul brings us to another point. And that is that our sexual behavior touches or affects God too. It affects God too. Paul says that the body is for the Lord and the Lord is for the body. He says what we do with our bodies counts to God. It's important to God. And not only that, he goes on to say that our bodies are physical extensions of Christ, the body of Christ. Have you ever thought of that? A physical extension of the body of Christ. And so what we do with our bodies as a Christian is a living illustration of what God, or Christ, quotes unquote, is doing. Because we are extensions of His body, Paul says. And so there's a moral lesson to be taught and lived before the world in terms of our sexuality. When Paul says that there's a bonding in a deep level up on the hill with a prostitute, he's talking about what is being left behind in her heart or his heart in terms of the moral, spiritual values of the kingdom of God. It's inconsistent with the ways that God thinks and the way that God lives. And then Paul says that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Sanctuaries where there is to be praise and glory and honor and blessing brought to God. I don't think that there's a one of us here today. Paul is pretty graphic in the way he brings these points out, and we must understand what he has in mind. None of us would ever think or conceive of an act of immorality within this sanctuary where we worship God. We have so much reverence and so much appreciation for God that it would be repugnant for us to even consider such a thing taking place. And Paul is simply saying the sanctuary of the Holy Spirit is not a building, but it's our bodies, ourselves. And what we would never think of doing within the house of God should be consistently followed through to the dwelling of God, which is our self, our hearts, our souls. The expression of our sexuality touches upon the character and the thinking and the heart of God. We hear David crying out, "Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this great wickedness against God," when he had that affair with Bathsheba. We hear Nathan saying, "Now, you know what the kingdoms of the nations around are going to say, David? David was a good friend of God. Look, he's no different than the rest of us. What kind of God does he serve?" God's reputation. And we have the experience of Joseph. Somehow in the depths of his heart he cried out, "How can I sin and do this great wickedness from God?" And he literally fled from immorality. That's what we're called to. To experience and to express as a worshiping people of God who are redeemed and who love the Lord with all our hearts. Now again, Paul is graphic. Paul is to the point. And he draws his thoughts to a conclusion that shocks us when we begin to think about it. He says, not only are your bodies the temple of the Holy Spirit, but you are bought. You are purchased with a price. And he has in mind the journeys up the hill and the purchase of bodies for momentary pleasures for a price. And He's saying to the people of God, and God's Word comes to us this morning with the same words, you are the ones who have been bought with a price and have no say in terms of what is done with your body. Your body, yourself, expressed in its sexuality, must bring honor and glory and blessing to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we do that, brothers and sisters, when we keep the bed connected to the house. And that house is God's plan for our sexuality. Be expressed in all of its fullness in the setting of a monogamous commitment in marriage. That alone is how we bring glory and honor to God in our sexuality. It affects ourselves deeply, personally. It affects others, always. And it affects God's too. Look with me just quickly down here in verse 9, 10, and 11 of chapter 6. Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornication, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. We've seen these verses before. They're precious verses. Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Passage of Scripture that clearly lets us know what the value system of God's kingdom is. And secondly, lets us know how powerful the grace of God is to bring order and spiritual structure to our lives. And I don't know where you've been. If you've strayed outside the circle of God's plan for our lives, the grace, the power, the cleansing power, the transforming power that Paul speaks about here is for you. We need not carry an anchor or drag an anchor of guilt. We can be washed of our guilty stains and we can have power to overcome. And we can have power. Holy Spirit power within the deepest recesses of our beings, to always keep the bed connected to the house. May Jesus Christ and the filling of the Holy Spirit of God help us to take these simple few words from Paul and apply them to our lives that we can bring glory to God in our bodies.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. American Christian Ministries is not a one-man band. It is an orchestra of outstanding speakers who are all on the same theological page. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.